I'm wearing a priest's robe, my costume for Halloween next week, as today's episode is about John Dee, who happened to be a one-time Catholic priest. Born in 1527, John Dee was an English alchemist, astrologer, court philosopher, and exceptional mathematician who entered Cambridge University when he was just 15 years old, where he excelled and became a junior faculty member before even taking his degree. After graduating, he went to Paris, where he delivered a series of well-received lectures on the Greek mathematician Euclid. After lecturing and studying on the European continent between 1547 and 1550, Dee returned to England, became astrologer to Queen Mary Tudor, and shortly thereafter was imprisoned for being a magician, but was released not too long after. Dee met the future Queen Elizabeth while she was being held under house arrest by Queen Mary. The two developed a friendship that lasted for the rest of their lives. As queen, Elizabeth gave Dee money. More importantly, she protected him from those who accused him of witchcraft. Besides practicing astrology and doing horoscopes in the court of Elizabeth I, whose favor he enjoyed, he also gave her lessons in the mystical interpretation of his writings. Dee's house in Mortlake, near London, was for many years a major center of science in England. Dee salvaged many rare and ancient scientific writings that had been scattered when Roman Catholic churches and monasteries were ransacked during the Reformation, and his own library of more than 4,000 books may have been the largest of its kind in Europe at the time. To give you a feel for Dee's own work, I'll read you a short sentence from the Hieroglyphic Monad, and I quote, "Before we raise our eyes to heaven, Kabbalistically illuminated by the contemplation of these mysteries, we could perceive very exactly the constitution of our monad as it is shown to us not only in the light, but also in life and nature, for it discloses explicitly by its inner movement the most secret mysteries of this physical analysis." End quote. In Dee's most hermetic work, the Monas Hieroglyphica, which means one hieroglyph, or the Hieroglyphic Monad, published in 1564, Dee believed he had found a hieroglyph, a hitherto hidden symbol, which contained in its form the very unifying principle of reality, which contains within it all the most elementary principles of the universe. It is to be contemplated upon and fixed in memory as an archetype applicable to all studies. Dee spent most of the time in his library, where he explored the Talmudic mysteries, the Rosicrucian theories, and a host of other obscure and occult subjects, such as Enochian magic. He claimed that by gazing into a crystal, he could communicate with otherworldly spirits, and even wrote about how, as he knelt in prayer late one autumn, he was visited by the angel Uriel. I will leave it to my viewers to decide if this was an actual experience, or an interaction with his own subconscious mind, or as Jung would say, an archetype of the collective unconscious. In any event, he claimed that the angel that appeared to him promised to be his friend and companion as long as he lived. Dee also associated with other occultists, for example, Edward Kelly, a lawyer who stood accused of necromancy, which is the practice of using dead bodies for divination. Dee and Kelly recorded hundreds of spirit conversations, including an alleged angelic language that they called Enochian, which are claimed to represent a pre-Hebraic language. That said, some researchers have suggested that Enochian was a code Dee used to transmit messages from overseas to Queen Elizabeth in his alleged capacity as a founding member of the English Secret Service. Others have claimed that this Enochian language, which is supposedly from the time before Noah and is used in Enochian magic, is part of the system of magic used by Aleister Crowley and the Golden Dawn and of the Necronomicon to contact intelligences from other dimensions or evoking, quote, the old ones.
As Dee went deeper into the occult, he turned his back on Queen Elizabeth and set off on a journey that took him beyond the boundaries of religion and morality. He risked everything in his quest, and his diaries record how ultimately he became the instrument of forces beyond his control.
They are told that something, a powerful message is going to be dictated to them. The first angel begins to talk to them about a lost book of Enoch, which is the language of the angels, the original language spoken by Adam before the fall.
The angel told us, "I will open to thee the secrets of nature and the riches of the world. Many thousand secrets in which you are still yet but children."
This was the same language that was revealed to Enoch, who in biblical tradition was the first person to speak with God after the fall of man. The language, it is said, is the power by which we were all made, by which nature was framed and the whole universe was constructed. It is the very mathematics, it is the very framework of all the mystery of all creation.
Dee believed that the language he was about to receive would be the key to unlocking the secrets of the universe. Letter by letter, the dictation of the Enochian language began. After months of scrying and hundreds of hours looking into the crystal ball, the angels revealed what appeared to be a completely new language. The Enochian language is based on an alphabet of 22 letters. The language has its own words, grammar, and syntax, and resembles no known tongue. Although some scholars have compared it to Hebrew, attempts to discover its origins have been unsuccessful. Throughout this period, the angelic conversations continued. The angels repeatedly told Dee that he would soon be given the key to using the Enochian language. When the Pope heard that Dee was being granted audiences with Emperor Rudolf, he sent spies to investigate. The Pope's spies reported back to Rome that Dee was an important and dangerous adversary and the author of a new heresy, predicting that Rome was about to fall.
Anybody who claims to have God's personal mobile number is a tremendous threat to the established church. The church, in spiritual terms, is a collection of middlemen. If you had an entire population who were capable of communicating with spiritual forces for themselves, then popes, priests, cardinals, bishops, all of these would have been redundant. That was the threat that John Dee posed to the religious authorities. Anybody who had information or knowledge which didn't fit with the established orthodoxy was cruising for a bruising.
Pope Sixtus, determined to get rid of Dee at any cost, presented a document to the emperor accusing Dee of being a black magician. Papal ambassadors made repeated demands to question Dee, and they tried to seize the heretical books of angelic conversations. Finally, the Pope demanded that Dee and Kelly come to Rome.
Being asked questions by the Inquisition was seldom a comfortable position to be in, not least because the entire process could quite easily end up with you being barbecued.
They refused to go to Rome, but Pope Sixtus finally forced Emperor Rudolf to expel Dee and his family from the Holy Roman Empire. They were given 6 days to get out of the empire and fled Prague in fear for their lives. With nowhere to go and no prospects of patronage, things were looking desperate when they received word that a nobleman from southern Bohemia requested their alchemical services. Even more surprising, Emperor Rudolf had sanctioned the arrangement.
The relief that John Dee must have felt after being persecuted, kicked out, the Pope's after him, He's got nowhere to stay. His family's stuffed into two carriages with all his books and possessions. And finally, he's allowed to find sanctuary here in Trevon, in Rosenberg's castle. Elizabeth I wasn't a real patron to John Dee. He wasn't funded enough to pursue his experiments and his science. For the first time, this is a safe haven for them. It's a sanctuary.
Rudolf II was under extreme pressure from the Pope, but believed that Dee and Kelly were on the verge of finding the formula of the Philosopher's Stone. He did not want to openly defy the Pope, and secretly installed them in alchemical laboratories in the town of Trebon, 100 miles south of Prague. The pressure was now on to produce gold, and Kelly wanted to devote all of his energy to alchemy. He became increasingly reluctant to enter into the angelic conversations that he felt were leading nowhere. Dee wanted more than material wealth, and refused to let go of what he saw as a greater prize. He had risked everything for the angels. Along with the Enochian language, they had revealed to him what appeared to be an entire magical system. He believed that once the angels gave him the key to these things, all would be revealed to him. Time after time, he forced Kelly back to the crystal to continue with the angelic conversations.
Right in the middle of all of this, something extraordinary happens. It's just absolutely off the map. If everything else has been extraordinary, this is off the map. They carry on the angelic conversations here, and it takes a very sinister and very strange twist, because Medimi, their spirit guide, their angel, makes a request. They get asked to do something very bizarre.
Medimi appeared, and she said, "Nothing is unlawful which is unlawful unto God. One committing adultery on my behalf shall be blessed eternally and given a heavenly reward."
The angels, or Medimi, reveals herself naked in the crystal and says that they have to cross-match with each other's wives. Dee and Kelly have to swap wives. Now, this is terrible thing. Jane Dee detests Kelly. Poor Jane cries for 15 minutes. She won't do it. Kelly's not happy. He thinks they're in league with demons. Really, it must seem like they are now to be asked to do such a terrible thing. But for Dee, it's a final test for him to get the secrets of nature at the end of this. He will reach the next level, go to the next stage.
The test seemed to be an affront to the laws of God, and it shook Dee to the core. He had risked everything for the angels, but was he now prepared to risk his soul?
And he battles against it, and he says he won't do it, and he says he can't do it, and then he gives in. And ultimately, he becomes the instrument of the angels. Ultimately, they take him over, and he does everything that they tell him to do.
So here, they draw up a contract after 2 days that they all solemnly sign, and they do go ahead and record it in Dee's diary. The pact is fulfilled.
I can see there is no other remedy but for our cross-matching, so it must be done. I offer my soul as a pawn.
There is something very empowering about the breaking of taboo. Certain sex practices are seen as being able to enhance magical awareness, to put you into a different state of consciousness. Laying there in a room, listening to your wife have sex with your business associate and magical associate, while you were laying there with their wife, this very real physical act might have been a step too far. This was as far from theory as it could possibly get.
So there's actually much more going on spiritually than just some wife swapping here. They're not just swingers, they're sinners. And in Renaissance Europe, that really is tampering with eternity.
but it spells the absolute end of Dee and Kelly. Nothing is the same again. It changes everything, and the angelic conversations come to an end.
Dee returned to England in 1589. Queen Elizabeth had lost interest in her noble intelligentsia, and Dee was desperately short of money. The final blow came when his wife Jane gave birth to a boy, the product of her unholy union with Kelly.
Dee never questioned the validity of his angelic actions, in the sense that he never thought he'd just been defrauded by Kelly, that he'd been strung a line. He believed in them right to the end. He buried his papers or hid them in secret drawers, in chests. That's how they were found subsequently. He did so because he wanted the message to be carried on into future generations.
Dr. John Dee died in 1608. He never deciphered the Enochian language, but it formed the basis of a magical system that continues to be practiced by occultists. The language's origin and what happened between Dee and Kelly during the angelic conversations remains a mystery.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. You can find my published work on Amazon. Please don't forget to subscribe for updates. Please share, and don't forget to leave a comment. Have a happy and safe Halloween, and I hope to see you again soon.